Chapter 7.
"Is there anywhere in there about where she lives?" Nike wondered.
"No, it just says she's a resident of Capacia," I said as I rifled through the last few pages. "The rest of these are about Barrington and how great he is."
"He sure does love talking about himself,"
Rebecca observed with a smirk.
"And she seems to shy away from attention,"
Ravi murmured.
"I hope she hasn't left the city without anyone noticing,"
Isabella said as she frowned. "Me either," I muttered. "Let's clean this up and go look for ourselves."
"Should we even bother to ask the Duke and Duchess?" Nike asked.
"Probably not," I smirked and rolled my eyes. "I think they've hit their helping limit for the day."
"Then maybe we should see if Lord Barrington is awake yet?"
Aliona suggested.
"We can check on his condition, and if he's up, we'll ask him first."
"Good idea," I said. "Let's go." We carefully put everything back in the box and hoped it was as we'd found it before we walked out of the archives and back toward the entry to the palace. Devinder and Magdalene were nowhere to be seen, so we continued past the guards and into the city. We headed for Barrington's house, though I kept an eye out for anyone we could ask on the way. Doors and windows remained shut, and not a single curious face peered out to greet us. It was like none of the other elves wanted to know why we were there, and I couldn't figure it out. Aliona hesitated to knock on the door to Barrington's home, so I turned the knob and gestured for her to walk inside. Before we even set foot in the door, the roaring sound of Barrington's snoring reached us, and we sighed as we shut the door and returned to the porch.
"Guess that's a no," I muttered.
"So how do we talk to people who don't even want us to see them?"
"We just have to knock on doors and hope for the best,"
Aliona said.
"We can cover more ground if we split up," Nike suggested. "It seems this entire half of the city holds houses, which means there are at least 200 to go to."
"Great," I sighed. "Okay, Nike and Laika, you take the first road on the west end. Isabella and Sky, take the second. Mariah and Rebecca, go down this main road. And Aaliyah and Ravi can take the next one over. Aliona and I will go to the east end. Remember, we just want to know if they know Anastasia. Send word once you've found anything."
"Let's do it,"
Laika said. We split up to cover the city of Capacia with our questions, and Aliona and I began the walk to the east end of the city and over to the northernmost block. Then I took a deep breath and knocked on the first door. With my dragon hearing, I could hear the flutter of movement inside, but no one opened the door.
"How many times do you think I should knock?" I murmured to Aliona.
"Perhaps twice,"
she offered with a grim smile. I grunted and knocked again, but still the residents ignored it.
"Let's keep moving."
I furrowed my brow and led my wife to the next door. We continued the knock, wait, knock, move on pattern for several houses, and I'd begun to feel like a discouraged salesman when a door finally opened a crack.
"Can I help you?"
a small elf woman asked. She looked easily in her 80s, and she kept most of her frail body behind the door. But she stared at us with piercing green eyes surrounded by the lines of a long life. "The name is Lord Evan of Hatra," I introduced myself with a kind smile. "This is my wife, Princess Aliona of Rama. We are looking for a woman named Anastasia." A flicker of recognition passed through the woman's eyes before she blinked and shook her head.
"No, sorry, I don't know her."
"Ma'am, she's not in trouble and we don't want to hurt her," I insisted. "Do you know where we can find her?"
"Don't know her."
The woman slammed the door shut before I could say anything else.
"Well, that wasn't suspicious at all,"
Aliona said with a smirk. "Yeah, I'd say she at least knows who Anastasia is," I agreed. "Maybe I should knock again." Aliona nodded her agreement, and I rapped on the door once more. The woman yanked it open even more and glared.
"I told you, I don't know this Anastasia person."
"And I heard you, but I don't believe you," I shot back. "Just tell me where I can find her and we'll leave you alone."
"No,"
she barked before she started to close the door again. "Ma'am, please." I put my hand on the door and held it in place. "I don't know why you won't tell me, but we can see you know her, or at least her name."
"Everyone knows her name,"
the elf woman retorted before she stopped trying to close the door on me.
She's the one whose brother challenged her for that stupid sword. I don't know where she is, so leave me alone.
This time I let her close the door and turned to Aliona.
I believed her that time,
my wife said, and wrapped a lock of raven hair around her finger.
But it doesn't help us much.
Me too, I agreed. Maybe it does. If she knows who Anastasia is just by name, maybe someone has noticed her in town somewhere.
Maybe,
the princess murmured.
Let's keep going.
We knocked on a few more doors, but we got more of the same bits and pieces of the story, if the elves answered at all. Most of them ignored us, though I could tell they were home, while others just recounted the stories they'd heard through the grapevine. Anastasia was a loner before she'd become the noble of the sword, and had remained one after she'd lost it to her brother. Barrington was more popular and well-liked, though some agreed he could be a bit arrogant. Anastasia didn't have any friends anyone else knew of, and no one knew where she'd gone once her brother took over the duties of the sword. I had to bite my tongue more than once when people spoke of the former noble as though she was nothing more than discarded trash, and I made a mental note to talk to Ruslan when we returned to Hatra and make sure no one in our city felt as alone as Anastasia had to feel. I couldn't imagine having literally no one who knew anything about me other than the story that made its way around the city. No one knows anything useful, I growled, as yet another door shut in front of us. Or they're too busy hiding behind their doors to help.
Maybe they're frightened of us,
Aliona said with a shrug.
We obviously aren't elves, and it seems they stayed themselves here.
Well, they need to grow a pair, I retorted, and looked down the street. Maybe the others are having better luck. We only have 4 more houses on our road. Aliona smiled and took my hand to lead me to the next one.
Lord Evan!
Ravi called out from above us. I looked up to see the phoenix in her true form as she hovered overhead. Her bright orange feathers shone bright in the late afternoon sun, and I had to shield my eyes to meet hers. Did you find her? I asked.
Not sure,
the phoenix replied.
Follow me!
Ravi flew back toward the road she and Aaliyah had been working on, and Aliona and I jogged along beneath her. The phoenix flew to the far end of the road, past the point we'd reached and almost into what appeared to be an industrial area of town. Factories and stores were only a few yards away from the end of the residential side, and one lone house stood far from the others. As soon as I saw the lioness, I motioned for Ravi to go get the rest of our friends. Aaliyah stood in front of a house that looked somewhat boring compared to the others. The silver had faded to the point it more resembled aluminum foil than treasure. And the windows were cracked, or boarded up. An elf woman of about 40 stood in the doorway, with her hands on her hips and an angry expression on her face. She wore a set of rugged brown robes with a musty smell I couldn't quite identify, and her mousy brown hair was pulled back into a messy ponytail on the back of her head. Her forest green eyes were dark and filled with suspicion and irritation as she glared at Aaliyah.
No, I won't tell you where she is,
the woman insisted and shook her head defiantly.
You can't make me. I don't want to make you,
Aaliyah argued.
But I can, so don't question that. You think a lion demi-human scares me?
The elf sneered.
I've seen much worse than you.
I thought the elves stayed in Capacia, I interjected with raised eyebrows. At least that's what the Duke and Duchess told us. Have you ventured past the forest?
I've done many things in my life,
she said as she looked me up and down.
None of which I need to explain to a dragon or a lion who shows up on my doorstep.
You know what I am? I asked in surprise.
Obviously,
the woman replied with an eye roll.
Now, you can return to your search for Anastasia, but I'm not helping you.
Please, ma'am, we only need to talk to her,
Aliona cut in.
I'm Princess Aliona of Rama, and we mean her no harm.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't,
the elf scoffed.
Just another person here to catch a glimpse of the failed noble of the sword, right? Go talk to Lord Barrington. He knows more than I do about all that.
We tried, I countered. He can't help right now.
Ah, too busy, of course,
she chuckled.
He is a busy man.
Something like that, I hedged. I didn't want to tell this strange woman anything more about Lord Barrington until I knew why she was being so secretive. Barrington was weak at the moment, and I got the feeling she wasn't as impressed by him as everyone else. So there was no reason to put him at risk.
Well, he'll be back from whatever adventure he's on eventually.
The elf woman waved a dismissive hand.
Then you can ask him all about his sister.
I'd rather ask you, I said as I narrowed my eyes on her. You know more than you're saying.
I'll know a lot of things,
she replied with a half smile.
Just because I know them doesn't mean I'm inclined to share them.
Well, you should share this,
Aliona insisted.
We need to speak with her. It's a life or death situation at hand, and she can help us.
How so?
The elf woman cocked her head to the side with curiosity. We aren't inclined to share it. I mimicked her argument, and she pursed her lips in amusement. Besides, if you aren't Anastasia, what does it matter to you?
Just being nosy, I suppose,
she cackled.
Good luck on your search.
As she started to close the door, I heard the sound of running footsteps and turned to see Mariah had nearly reached us with an intense look on her face. Nike and the rest of my lovers hurried along behind her to catch up with us.
We don't need luck,
the spirit called out before she came to a grinding halt next to me.
We have you. Do I know you?
The elf woman asked as she stared at Mariah.
I feel like we've met before.
You feel that way because you have the bloodline of a noble sword,
Mariah replied.
Anastasia, is it?
I knew it!
Alia whooped as she pumped her fist in the air.
I knew you weren't telling us everything. How did you?
Anastasia started.
I'm a spirit of a noble sword,
Mariah said.
You sense a familiarity with me because you've known one of my sisters. Was it Tira?
Tira.
The elf woman sighed as she smiled fondly.
Oh, sweet Tira. She was the closest thing I've ever had to a friend.
We need to know about her and the sword, I interjected.
Oh, gods.
Anastasia groaned as the smile faded off her face and a grimace took its place.
No, I can't talk to you.
She started to close the door again, but Mariah blocked it and stepped closer to the elf woman.
You must. No, I must not.
Anastasia argued.
I swore I wouldn't talk about it.
About the noble sword? I asked.
Yes,
she hissed.
I can't discuss it with you or anyone else. I won't do it.
She leaned out the doorway to look at the houses around us, but I didn't see any movement beside us. Listen, we can keep you safe, I said in a quiet voice. We only need to talk to you. Can we do that?
Can't you just leave?
The elf begged.
I can't talk to you. It'll kill me.
I won't let that happen, I insisted. Just give me a few minutes and I'll explain everything. Anastasia chewed on her fingernail as she mulled it over. I tried to wait patiently, but I was nearly jumping from foot to foot while we waited for her response. I was quickly discovering the elves were incredibly secretive, and they didn't like sharing what they knew.
Okay,
she finally relented.
But you have to come inside. I can't let anyone else see me talking to you.
She ushered us inside and we filed into her house as quickly as possible before she shut the door behind us and made her way to a dining table. She plopped down in one of the seats and gestured for us to sit with her. There were only four seats at the table, so Nike and I stood while my lovers piled onto each other's laps. Is this better? I asked once everyone was comfortable.
Yes,
Anastasia said.
Everyone here loves Barrington, so it wouldn't surprise me if someone is already on their way to tell him I'll let you inside.
It would surprise me, I muttered.
Why is that?
She wondered. Well, it's just that no one here seems to know much about you, I said, to avoid the topic of her comatose to sleeping brother. The ones who answered the door either said they only know the story or don't know you at all.
That's the way I like it.
The elf sighed.
I don't like everyone in my business, but with rulers like the Vinder and Magdalene, everyone thinks they should know everyone else's business. It's quite annoying, honestly.
They were annoying,
Rebecca agreed.
They certainly can be,
Anastasia chuckled.
Now, what do you want to talk to me about?
The noble sword, I said. You used to have it?
Yes, I was the firstborn,
she confirmed.
Once I was trained, the sword of the land was passed down to me.
So you have the bloodline abilities of a noble of the sword, I mused. But you don't have the sword.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Anastasia shrugged and got up from her chair to walk into the kitchen.
Tea?
Sure, I said, and everyone else nodded as the elf began to warm a teapot. Why did Barrington challenge you?
He didn't believe in the way I handled missions,
she answered without turning around.
He said I was a coward. Why?
Skye growled.
Because you're a woman?
I knew Skye and her brother had worked out their differences, but it still bothered her that Rocco's family didn't think she could do it because she was a female. This conversation seemed to bring up those negative feelings, and she clenched her fists on the table while the elf spoke.
That was part of it,
Anastasia said as she pulled the squealing teapot from the stove and set it on a tray with a pile of cups.
He and many other nobles here didn't believe a woman should carry the sword, but my father had trained me almost since birth to do it.
Then how did your brother defeat you? Nike wondered. Was he also trained as a child?
He was,
she said, as she turned around and set the tea tray down on the table.
It was supposed to be in case I died in battle, but he decided he didn't want to wait, I suppose.
I'm sorry you had to experience a challenge,
Skye said in a sad voice.
I was able to keep from fighting mine, thanks to Lord Evan.
Thank you, but I was able to avoid the battle as well,
Anastasia replied as she looked down into her cup. How did you do that? I asked. Did you have another noble of the sword here to fight on your behalf also? The odds of another noble of the sword being in Capacia when Anastasia needed one were pretty low. But I wasn't sure how else she'd been able to prevent a fight with her brother, especially since he'd obviously walked away with the sword.
Although Barrington doesn't like me to talk about it, but I conceded the fight,
Anastasia said and shook her head.
I didn't like the idea of a fight to the death with my own brother, even though he didn't seem to mind it at all.
He made it a death challenge? I gaped at the elf, whose eyes hadn't left her teacup in several minutes.
He said it was the only way to be certain of his victory,
she scoffed. When the elf woman finally looked up, tears filled her eyes, and she wiped them away before she returned to her cup. Unbelievable, I muttered. He didn't have to do that. I'm sorry. I can't imagine that pain.
I couldn't have imagined it either,
she agreed.
When he announced the challenge in front of our parents, my father was overcome with grief. But Barrington didn't care. He wanted the sword, so he could go on all these great adventures and be famous.
What about your mother?
Aliona asked.
She said it was high time I'd give up my ridiculous aspirations of being a warrior and find a good husband to have children with.
Anastasia spat out and gestured around the house.
As you can see, the second half of her dreams for me didn't go so well.
What about Barrington? I wondered.
Did he find a good husband and bear children?
The elf woman chuckled.
No, he's too busy being the famous adventurer to meet a woman. Even if he did, I can't imagine a woman who wouldn't be put off by his arrogance.
It seems you're the one we actually came here to find, then, I mused. But we can discuss that more later.
Now, I've told you everything I know,
Anastasia said as she locked eyes with me.
So you can tell me whatever it is you're keeping from me.
I hesitated for a brief moment, but I knew we'd have to tell her eventually. Your brother isn't on a mission, I explained carefully. He was injured on a mission and brought back here to recover.
What?
She gasped and nearly dropped her teacup.
Is he all right?
He's okay, I said with a grimace. He was in a coma, but we got him out of that. Now we aren't sure what else is going on with him. He was sleeping when we checked on him a few hours ago.
Well, we must go check on him now,
Anastasia decided as she rose from the table.
Oh, no, he's an arse, but he's my little brother. I can't leave him alone if he's unwell.
Anastasia, wait, I started.
No, I'm going to see him.
She cut me off with a menacing stare.
And you can either go with me or wait for me here.
We have no intention of stopping you,
Aliona assured her.
We only want you to be prepared for what you'll see.
Is he missing a leg or something?
Anastasia gasped and covered her mouth. No, I shook my head, and she sighed with relief. He was just, a little...
Overwhelmed,
Aliona supplied. Yes, overwhelmed, I agreed. So he was taking a nap, but the other people we've seen in a similar condition woke with no memory of how they got injured. Just don't be surprised if he has the same issue, okay?
Well, I can handle a little memory loss,
the elf retorted and knocked on her own head.
I'll barely remember the mission I handled in Las Finteras.
As she cackled to herself, I looked at the others in question.
Las Finteras is the capital of wine country,
Laika explained with a grin.
I like her.
She's something else, I smirked. But it quickly faded. Unfortunately, I don't think her brother feels the same way. We better go with her. We followed Anastasia out of her house and down the road toward Barrington's home. She didn't say anything as we walked, even when droplets of rain began to fall and soak through our clothes. I looked up to see the three moons of Inati had already begun to make their way into the darkening sky, but clouds covered most of their appearance. We trudged through the increasing rain, and by the time we made it to Barrington's house, we rushed inside to escape the onslaught of precipitation. A few more lanterns had been lit, and a weak voice called out from the bedroom.
Magdalene! Is that you?
Barrington sat up in surprise as we walked into his room.
Anastasia! What the hell are you doing here? And who are these people?
Why were you calling for the Duchess?
Anastasia smirked and rolled her eyes.
Whatever. I just want to make sure you were alive. Seems you're back to your normal self.
Do you know what happened to me?
He asked suddenly.
Don't know much.
His sister stammered and looked at me with pleading eyes. Listen, I'll tell you what we know. I stepped in and offered my hand to greet him. My name is Lord Evan of Hatra, and this is my wife, Princess Aliona of Rama. She's the one who healed you from your, accident.
Thank you, Your Highness, Barrington said, though the warmth of his voice didn't reach his eyes. What was the cause of my accident exactly?
Magic,
my wife answered with a shrug.
Someone put a sleeping curse on you. Do you remember who it was?
A sleeping curse?
He murmured and rubbed his chin in thought.
No, I can't say that I'll do. I only remember entering the Lothan Forest.
Well, that's better than screaming about how you aren't supposed to be here,
Laika pointed out.
What?
Barrington looked at her with wide eyes.
I did that?
Yeah, that's why you ended up taking another nap, I said with a grimace. You needed to cool off a bit.
I feel fine now, he said. Can you just do the healing magic again to heal more memory?
It doesn't work, I replied. We tried that already. But really, it's okay. We have a plan already to go after the person we suspect did it, and we need Anastasia to help us with it.
Why her?
Barrington spat out, as a malicious look flickered in his eyes.
She isn't even a noble of the sword anymore, I am.
Because she let you be, I retorted with a fiery anger at his condescension toward his sister. And she can help more than you can with this particular plan.
You told them?
He roared and threw the blankets off his body.
Why would you tell some strangers what happened? You swore!
It was just for their mission,
Anastasia argued.
It's not like they're going to tell the whole damn city.
They could,
her brother insisted as he jumped off the bed and started toward her.
And it would be all your fault if they did.
Whoa! I grabbed Barrington and flung him back onto the bed. You better stay right there, bud. You don't need to get any closer to her.
She's my sister, he snarled. I'll say or do whatever I want. I could have won that challenge anyway.
Fat chance,
Anastasia snorted.
I had 5 more years of training plus missions under my belt. I didn't want to kill you.
I beat you the day before in training,
Barrington shot back.
When I held that dull steel blade against your throat, I knew it was my time to take my rightful place as a noble of the sword.
The noble puffed out his chest and glared at his sister, who choked back a laugh and smiled.
Do you mean the day I finally let you win?
She chuckled.
What?
He gasped.
I just returned from another mission, and you insisted on a duel,
Anastasia said.
I told Father I didn't want to because I was tired. But he said if I just let you win, you'd drop it. So I'll let you win.
He never told me that, Barrington sputtered. You're lying!
Am I?
The elf woman quirked an eyebrow without batting an eye.
I'll tell you to ask him yourself, but you might be afraid of the answer you get.
No!
He bellowed and started to charge her again.
Knock it off,
I growled, as I grabbed the front of his tunic and lifted him to my face.
Go after her again and you'll duel me instead. I've never let anyone win.
The noble elf quaked in my grasp before he went limp and nodded his head. So I set him back on the bed and glanced between the siblings. Barrington looked deflated at the revelation of his less-than-impressive win over his sister, while Anastasia was clearly amused at his defeat. I could tell she'd been holding that secret in for a while, and I was glad she'd let it out now.
Now can we focus on what we need to know? Nike broke the silence and pursed his lips at Barrington.
Yeah, sure, the noble replied with a shrug. But if it's anything else about the noble soul, just know it's all her fault.
Yeah, we get it, I rolled my eyes and glared at the pouting elf. She let you win. She conceded the challenge. You're a shitty noble of the sword. It's all her fault, right?
Not that,
Barrington muttered as he turned his angry stare on his sister.
That stupid mission, and every mission I've ever gone on, has been terrible. And that's her fault!
Because I let you win?
Anastasia scrunched up her face in confusion.
It's not my fault if you didn't succeed. You were trained as I was.
No!
He insisted, and crossed his arms over his chest.
You knew I wouldn't succeed with her! You did this!
What did I do?
His sister demanded.
I conceded the match to avoid killing you. Should I have just done it anyway?
Maybe,
he pouted.
Oh, shut up,
Anastasia scoffed.
I never would have killed you, so spit out. What's my fault now?
It's your fault what happened to the Sword of the Land, Barrington nearly whispered.
Barrington, what happened to the sword? I cut in and grabbed his arm. What do you mean?
She knew I wasn't ready, he yelled. She just said she let me win. I should have found a loophole to make her fight me.
Get to the fucking point, Barrington, I roared as I wrenched him toward me. What happened to the sword?
She knew I wasn't ready for the sword, and she let me go on missions,
Barrington said as he looked down at his lap.
It's her fault I lost it.
Oh, fuck.